Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments. Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Marty Morrissey, and between now and 9 o'clock, Suzanne Campbell sampled seafood from County Louth. Mary Kennedy tells us about families who are moving west, and we find out about geocaching, treasure hunting for the mobile digital age. But first, this week we heard all about the return to the office as the COVID crisis eases and restrictions are lifted. Many of us have been working from home since March of 2020 and have grown to like it. But the future of remote working is not a table in the corner of your bedroom. It is more likely to be the network of hubs in towns across rural Ireland. The Hive in Carrigan-Shannon has been on the go for 8 years. It houses 30 businesses and 100 employees. This kind of place may be the future of remote working. So with Colm Keane as my guide, I went along to meet some of the people working there. First up is Breffni Early, who's in the media business himself.
Hi, and you're very welcome to the latest episode of Leitrim Daily with myself, Breffni Early. And on today's show, we're doing something a little bit different. We're turning the tables, and I'm the person being interviewed by the one and only Marty Morrissey. Marty, you're very welcome to The Hive.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome to the Countrywide Radio 1 programme. Breffni, to operate your podcast here from The Hive, what's that like?
I suppose it's just a little idea that came to me about 2 years ago. I was trying to get the results of the local football games on the radio, and for whatever reason, all I could hear on the radio was talk about NFL football and Cristiano Ronaldo, what Messi had eaten for breakfast that day. And I just thought, you know, there's more to local media than what's going on. And I just said, I need to try something a little bit different. And I just went home, told people I was going to do it, put it up on Facebook, I think, at the time. And about 2 weeks later, we put out our first show, and it's called Leitrim Daily.
What's it like working from The Hive?
The Hive has been a game changer, because it's not just you in a backpack in the back of the car coming to someone's house. You're bringing them in here. You can see we've got a lovely little studio set up here. We can shoot videos, we can shoot or we can record audio pieces in here as well. We have a number of hosts now presenting things. Someone you might be familiar with yourself, Tommy Moran. He's a former chairman of Connacht, or president.
Lovely man.
Absolutely. He hosts a show every Monday called Tommy Talks, where he just brings somebody in from the community, maybe a friend of his, maybe someone he knows of, spends half an hour in their company, and just a nice, almost fireside chat with them.
You could do this at home. So why here?
I couldn't do this at home. We live in Leitrim. Internet is patchy enough. To put it into something that people might understand, for me to upload, say, a 3 or 4 minute video from a section of one of our shows, if I was to try and do that on reasonable internet, well, alleged reasonable internet at home, only 4 miles out the road in Leitrim Village, it would take about an hour and a half. To do it in here, less than a minute. And so when you're relying on the speed of internet and the speed of access to that sort of thing, if you have to delay everything you're doing for an hour and a half, you just can't get the work done. So we went from spending maybe 12 to 15 hours a day producing a half hour audio show to now we can get that done in here in the right facilities, the right environment, in probably less than 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
So do you think that more and more people, you know, of your generation and of your age, will leave urban Ireland and come back to rural towns, beautiful towns like Carrigan-Shannon?
I don't know if they will, but they should. I spent 15 years in Dublin and ended up coming back to Leitrim. It's home. It's where my family is. My parents are getting older. My nephews are growing up, and I wanted to spend time with both generations. So even today, been able to spend an hour in the playground with my nephew on his first day back to school, that's a lovely little touch that I wouldn't necessarily be able to do. I call into my parents maybe 3, 4, 5 times a week. It's just been able to do that and live where you want to live at home. I think it's fantastic, and it wouldn't be possible without The Hive.
Thank you so much. I'm going to keep doing the tour with Colm, but the best of luck. Nice meeting you. Right, so where are we going to next, Colm?
You go downstairs.
Okay. Gosh, there's a lot. There's many twists and turns in the corridors.
It's even from the outside, there's 14,500 square foot here in total, so we've lots of space. It doesn't look as big from the road because of the way it's designed. Cooney Architects in Cavan in Dublin were the designers of the building itself, and it actually won an RIAI award for its very novel ventilation system, which since COVID has actually come into its own, because it meant that we could just basically make a few changes on the computer and we had ventilation already built in. It's good, and it's all about providing a safe workplace for people, so anything that makes it easier is good.
Hello.
How are you, Carmel?
Very well, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
You too. I didn't expect to see you here in Carrick and Shannon on a Wednesday afternoon.
There you go.
Are you looking for some HR support?
I am. You're the HR personnel. Well, nice to meet you, indeed.
So I'm originally from Cavan. Met a Leitrim man. We were living in Dublin, came to a small place called Cesc Carrigan, and we've been living there for about 16 years.
Wow.
So I think I can call myself a Leitrim woman.
That's what you think.
But I'd still be supporting Cavan.
See, I knew it would eventually come out.
If we ever got to an All-Ireland. So unlikely, but...
So in terms of HR, though, Carmel, I mean... Are more and more people realising that there is more to life than work?
You know, a lot of my inquiries at the moment are in relation to, well, what will I do if, you know, so-and-so or a number of people don't want to come back to work, back into the physical workplace. Looking at that from the employee point of view and then from the employer's point of view, there's still, that arrangement came out of necessity or was forced, and there are... aspects that need to be reviewed and managed and tweaked in terms of performance going forward.
There's another customer trying to get in contact with you.
My apologies, I didn't expect to be, as I say, talking to you as I was working, so yes.
So you do see a change, that more and more people are kind of saying, but you know what, I can operate a little bit better from home maybe.
I don't think there's a one size fits all in respect of what is the best working arrangement. Some love home working and it suits. There are others who cannot wait to get back into a normal workplace and leave and go to work every day. And then there are some who want a bit of both. So it may depend on, I suppose, domestic setup, childcare situation, age of children, type of work, location, amount of commuting, all those factors come into play. I don't think it's a one size fits all by any means. But at least COVID has opened up that conversation and certainly demonstrated that there are options available. Because I would know people in Leitrim who get on the train every day. That's, you know, 2 hours to Dublin each way and would do that 5 days a week.
And they're still doing that.
Well, some are definitely not going to do that again 5 days a week. Yeah.
Hard to blame them.
Absolutely. Leitrim's lovely. And why wouldn't you want to spend, you know, some time at home or enjoying what we have to offer rather than on the train?
What's your name?
David O'Carroll.
So what do you do?
The core of my business is graphic design, but I run a creative design agency.
But David, would you not feel you're at a disadvantage that you're not in Dublin?
Look, I'll probably give you the same answer everybody else does, and it's quality of life. The quality of life is absolutely second to none. Like, I leave work, I'm at home. I have two young kids, 1 and 2 at the moment in time, and when I leave them, I can just spend all evening with them. It's not leaving, it's not jumping into a car, it's not spending an hour travelling in and out of Dublin as well, too. It's home within 5 minutes, home within 10 minutes, like the amenities in Carrick and Shannon are all based around the water, the river. And the water and the river are things that kind of like that I've radiated to all in my life as well too. And I just enjoy, you know, activities and everything that's just here within minutes as well too. So
I think you've just sold Leitrim to the nation.
Hopefully.
Yes, you did, David. Sold it to me as well. That was David O'Carroll ending my report. I spoke to so many great people at the Hive in Carrick and Shannon, and it was a really interesting trip. I met Niall Kiernan from Global Green and Niamh O'Flynn, who completed her master's on the day I visited the Hive. So well done, Niamh. If you're interested in accessing a hub, www.connectedhubs.ie will give you all the information. Truly fabulous. Now, the Hare's Corner sounds like the name of a traditional tune or the name of a pub in a small village. But in fact, it is the name of a new biodiversity pilot project for farmers in my home county of Clare. Dr. Brendan Dunford is the manager of the Burren programme, and he joins me now to tell me more. Good morning.
Good morning, Marty. Greetings from Clare.
Thank you, Brendan. Lovely to speak to you indeed. Talk to me about Hare's Corner. What is it?
Yeah, well, a Hare's Corner is an old expression and it kind of refers to just a corner of a field or a piece of rough ground, which I suppose back in the day you couldn't maybe get the machines into, and you kind of basically just left it to nature. So I was reminded of the name, like you said, it's the name of a Colm McInerney album, but I was down with our friends in Seed Savers, that amazing place in County Clare, and a guy there, Jeremy Turkington, reminded me of this old expression when I was describing to him what we tried to do in the project. So Hare's Corner it is.
So describe what the Hare's Corner project is now all about.
Yeah, so I suppose we've been listening a lot to, you know, the climate and biodiversity emergency, and it seems so daunting, I suppose, but there's a lot of reports and reviews and research projects and stuff like that. But I think we all really need to see a bit of action as well. And sometimes small actions can make a big difference. So the Hare's Corner is just a very simple, hassle-free way through which farmers, landowners, community groups can actually translate their aspiration to do something for climate and for nature and turn that into reality. So Burnbio Trust, which is a beautiful, small, local charity here based in the Burn in County Clare, we've got some funding from the Department of Ag through this great EIP project, also through the Clare County Council, to basically help landowners across County Clare to do their little bit for nature. And it's not just doing it for nature, Marty, it's also doing it for farming, because little interventions that we have, which would include farm ponds, which would include mini woodlands or mini orchards, they're also actually good for farming, because, you know, when you have a period of drought and maybe you need backup water resources, or you need shade, or you might need shelter from storms. So I think sometimes these little interventions are good for nature, good for farming, and good for ourselves as well and our own well-being.
So really what you're talking about, I suppose, is planting some trees, developing a pond, plant an orchard of Irish varieties of fruit. Is that kind of the thrust of it?
Yeah, simple things. We want to start with simple things like that. We have another little project Burnbio sponsors called Farming for Nature. And over the years, we've been asking farmers across Ireland, like, what's the one best thing you've ever done for nature? And often they'll say, actually putting in a pond, it's simple and it's so effective. So that's one of our little options. Another option then would be, like you said, putting in some native Irish fruit trees sourced here at Seed Savers. And a third option then, which we'd like to start with, would be a small little pockets of woodland, but just a very special woodland in the sense that we're using our only native Irish pine, which is rediscovered here in Clare recently. So the Irish pine, or the Burren pine as we're calling it now. So simple little things like that can make a big difference, we think, and we want to help landowners to make it happen on their land.
And do you hope, Brendan, that this will increase farmers' confidence at a time when farming is answering so many questions about its environmental impact?
Yeah, and this is where it's really coming from, Marty. I've been privileged to live here in County Clare and work with farmers for 20 years. And I find them wonderful people to work with a great love of nature. And I think the story we hear a lot isn't the one that resonates with me. To my mind, farmers love nature, want to help it out. And this is a little opportunity for them to do that and to show what small things can make a big difference. So I think not every farmer wants to join a scheme like GLOS, or not every landowner has access to funding for this. So this is our little way to help them to do that. It's hassle-free. We provide some of the help to make sure that the farmer isn't out of pocket. We provide the advice and support to make sure that the right intervention is going in the right place. And other than that, it's up to the farmer to do what they're really good at doing, is manage the land for farming and for nature.
And the key thing is that the closing date is Monday, the 6th of September, and the information is at burrenbio.com/THC. You have your own Hare's Corner, Brendan, I hear.
We have a little field that we bought here when we were building our house. My late wife Anne and I here near Tubber in North Clare.
I know it well.
Anne passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago. So one little corner of the field we dedicated to her, and we got all the cousins, all the kids and the cousins to plant a little tree in her memory. And that's our little Hare's Corner. And like when I say about well-being, Marty, that's just such a fulfilling place for me and for our family. And even better, I was down there about a month ago and I found a little hedgehog, the first hedgehog I've seen in the barn for the last 20 years. So that was a real joy for me. So I think it can be good for nature, for farming, but it can be good for us as well to have these little things on our land. And, you know, it brings a bit of culture and complexity back into the landscape, I think, which can only be a good thing.
And a lovely tribute to your wife, to your late wife, Anne, Brendan. That must be a great consolation to you and your family.
Well, it is. You know what, Marty? Every spring, when the leaves are budding, it's a time of renewed hope. Mm. And, you know, it's just these places are beautiful. I think nature gives us so much. Maybe sometimes we don't appreciate it as much. So it's a lovely way to remember somebody.
Absolutely.
And maybe it's a lovely way to remember those that have lives that have been lost during the pandemic as well. It's been a tough time for a lot of people. So this is something positive that can be done to turn that around. So, and it's so far, like when we're all doing this as volunteers, this particular project. But I think we're enjoying such great support from the likes of the IFA, from our team in Kinvara, Pranjali and Karen. There's so much goodwill around a project like this because it's coming from a good place and it's trying to do our little bit.
Well, it's a lovely idea and I love it, absolutely. And thank you so much, Dr. Brendan Dunford, for joining us. Give my love to everybody in Tubber there in North Clare. The Hare's Corner is at burrenbio.com/THC. And Brendan is also involved in the Farming for Nature programme. I would like to remind you that the public vote for this year's Farming for Nature Ambassador is now live. And the winner will be announced at this year's Burren Wintridge School on October 23rd. We'll be right back.
Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments.
You are listening to Countrywide on RTE Radio 1 and I'm Marty Morrissey. Cuts in the fishing quota and, of course, Brexit have badly affected fishing communities in Ireland. But tourism tied to fishing is something that can boost income in coastal areas. Suzanne Campbell went to Louth to visit their new scenic and seafood trail and asks, does Irish fishing have a better future if we eat more Irish caught fish?
Megram sole, the whole place, whole red mullet, turbot, brill, pollock, gurnard.
I'm in Fisherman's Catch Shop in Port Oriel in Clocherhead.
Whiting, cod, lemon sole, and we've our own goujons and that up here, then we breaded goujons we do up ourselves.
You're so busy, there's people coming in the door every 2 seconds. How long has the business been here?
We're 12 years now.
And how's the consumer appetite for fish at the moment that you find in this area?
Really, really good. If you get a lot of people on to trying different fish, turbot, brill, they'll tend to change. Whereas the person coming in the door that used to just buy cod, you've actually changed them onto a different variety of fish, a different taste.
So you're kind of educating them as well, helping them cook it?
We're trying. With the variety of fish nowadays, there's so much choice. Even when people go out to a restaurant and that, the more educated coming from the fishmonger now. Straight from the boat, straight to the counter, straight to the plate.
Outside, I meet shop owner John Kerwin, who has been in the seafood business all his life. His shop and Port Oriel in Clocherhead are now part of the Sea Louth Trail.
I'm a fisherman. I went to sea when I was 13 years of age. I'm a fourth generation fisherman from Clocherhead. And in 2009, myself and my wife decided to open a fish shop. As you can see here, all the fish comes from our own boat. And of course, we buy in shellfish and buy in fresh salmon and that, but that's our business. And in 2018, we opened a fish and chip to provide a service of fish and chip to the locality and to encourage tourism.
So your boat, is it one of those down there in the harbour?
Yeah. At the minute, our boat is down off the Cork coast, about 80 miles off Cork.
And how often does it come in?
It comes in every 3 days and it goes to a depot in Dublin and we just get a supply from the depot. We catch 28 mixed species of fish, mm-hmm. Everything from red mullet to haddock, whiting, some cod, hake, plaice, a mixture of everything.
And does much of that come to the marketplace here or go overseas?
A good luck was overseas. The prime fish would end up in maybe Spain, France, and the rest would be maybe distributed around Ireland.
I suppose decades ago, it was a busier trade, fishing. There was more families fishing. Why has it declined?
Because one of the reasons is that every year the quotas are getting cut, and the government is to blame for this. Because every year they go to Brussels and they come back with empty promises. No Minister of Fisheries has ever come back from Europe with good news.
In the past 15 years, the number of Irish registered fishing vessels has gone from 280 to 164. Brexit saw more cuts in quota, but fishing also has tourist potential, something really highlighted in the new trail featuring beauty spots, seafood producers and restaurants in Louth. Gráinne McKeown explains.
We have a tourism group that realised that we have such potential in our coastline, a 70-kilometre plus coastline from Omeat to Baltrae and Drogheda that we just needed to tell people about, you know. So we looked at Louth as a full county and then we decided to pick a scenic viewpoint locations. They became the most important part of the trail. So we have 14 viewpoints across the county and at each place we have now a wee information panel that tells you about that place and tells their story. And then along the trail you also collect your wee stamp for your Sea Louth passport. And once you have your passport completed, as well as eating in two restaurants, you get a wee Sea Louth memento as well.
Very good. So it kind of entices people to go further along the trail or visit more points.
That's exactly it. It's to encourage them to experience the whole of County Louth. We may be small, but there's a lot happening. And when you have to visit 14 viewpoints, it does take at least 2 or 3 days, which encourages overnight stays as well.
How many restaurants do you have along the trail?
So we have about 40 along the trail from Drogheda to Carlingford and Omeat. We encourage all the restaurants to have one scenic Sea Louth seafood dish on their menu, which has to be a locally sourced seafood producer. So we have give them a list of the 8 producers involved and they have to use them on their menu and promote them as well as being part of the trail.
Damien Kearns from the Smuggler's Rest in Cloherhead is one of the restaurateurs taking part in the scheme with fish and seafood as a speciality.
We have some fish bites locally landed in Cloherhead. We have crab claws that came from Dunaney crab, which also just out the road in Cloherhead. And our USP and our biggest seller is the scampi, which is langoustines, Irish prawns that are very hard to get in Ireland. So we're one of the very few places that are selling local langoustines.
Because they're nephrops, they're the proper Irish.
These are the proper Irish ones. They're not farmed, they're not imported. Yeah. They come directly from Irish waters. Yeah.
Those Louth crab claws taste pretty good. So what way do you prepare them? A little bit of garlic, is that it?
Garlic, chilli and oil, that's it. In a pan, thrown up for 30 seconds to a minute, that's all it needs, yeah.
Because I suppose the better the fresh seafood is, the less treatment it needs.
Absolutely, you can overkill it. The same with the scampi, a bit of breadcrumbs, they're fried and that's all it needs.
Gareth O'Brien from FLAG, the Fisherman's Local Action Group, explained how they helped fund the Sea Louth Trail.
Of all of the things that had come to us from the different businesses and indeed from the councils and so on, people were talking about, you know, if only we had a passport or a sea trail to bring you along. We were absolutely delighted when Louth County Council came along because it was ticking so many boxes of what we'd all been talking about. Indeed, the fishermen had been talking about, the fish producers had been talking about, the restaurant trade, something that guides people up and down through Louth. The outcome is absolutely fantastic. People are dying to get out and about, and something like this will only help guide people along the beautiful coastline of County Louth. The nature of fisheries is seasonal. There's less people being involved in each aspect of it. So very clearly for smaller coastal villages, the fact that there is more employment, the fact that there are restaurants or cafes or even just tourists coming along, say for example a fisherman whose family may also have maybe a B&B or maybe just somewhere for glamping, the income stream is building up. Obviously for the fishermen themselves, the options are out there as we have out at the port here where the fish is sold fresh, battered, and you can choose what you would like to have that's been caught. That's absolutely excellent because number one, it's bringing the tourists in because they know there's something a little bit different, fresh fish caught with your chips. Also, that level of seasonal to permanent employment, which means the amount of people from rural coastal areas, they grew up here, they may have moved to Dublin or Dundalk or somewhere like that, but they actually want to come back here, settle, build a home, because their towns are now actually getting a little bit revitalised. So these sort of projects where we're able to help get restaurants up and running, the port regenerated and then put in the likes of Sea Louth, will only benefit everybody, will only act as something to keep us all at home.
That was Suzanne Campbell reporting. And if you're interested in finding out about the seafood trail in County Louth, the website is sealouth.ie. Now that's spelled SEALOUTH.ie, obviously, SEA. Now, there is definitely something about Mary. I have to come out of the closet and say, I love Mary.
I love you too, Marty.
And yes, I am talking about Mary Kennedy, who's my guest in studio this morning on Countrywide. Very popular broadcaster the nation loves, who's kept us company with Open House, brought us to every corner of Ireland with Nationwide, and wowed us with her accomplished performances on everything from the Eurovision to Dancing with the Stars. And later this month, her new series, Moving West, starts on TG Cahir, where Mary will visit people all over the country who have made the decision to swap the city for the country. You are most welcome, or should I say, Dia Gwyth, Conestato.
Dia Smirgwyth, Tashig Dasavan, Zomarty.
Let's go back to English
okay,
now.
Okay.
I need lessons from you, Oscar. I love the language. You're a Dub, but you've been fascinated for a long time by the story of people moving from the city down to the countryside.
Absolutely. From the 70s, when a man called Jim Connolly wrote a book, he was part of the Rural Resettlement Group. It was the 80s. And he wrote a book called Do You Think You Like the Wind? And it was about people from the inner city relocating to rural Ireland, particularly in West Clare, where, you know, they didn't have many advantages in the city. Mm. And the case studies were just gorgeous. So and they all did well. And I was fascinated by that. I would never kind of not live in the Dublin area, in the greater Dublin area, because my family is around.
Sure.
But I take every opportunity to just get into the car and turn left and go down the M50 and the N7 and the N4. So this was really, feeding into something that I really value and appreciate. And it was so nice to hear the stories of people who had taken the leap, and because it does take courage and you are uprooting yourself, but like it's a very positive story. The people who have done it have just, I don't know, there's just been a thing about breathing, you know. And you spoke to people earlier in the programme in Carrick and Shannon, and it works. You know, there's digital hubs all over the place because that is essential. People have to be able to work and live in this setting.
And on that basis, I mean, I was surprised in the Hive in Carrick and Shannon, a lot of them were local people who are working. But there are people, and you found it in your own programme, who want to just go down to Carrigan, to places, beautiful Carrigan Shannon, who might have no connection with the place, but they just want to breathe, to enjoy the countryside.
Yes, and it is about the quality of life. I mean, I spent 15 years loving getting up very early and going out the road for Nationwide. But from 6:30, you would see these snakes of cars coming into the city. Now, these were people who were leaving places as far away, maybe as Port Leash or Mullingar, and they must have gotten up at silly o'clock. They were taking sleeping babies and bringing them to childminders, and then the reverse on the way home. And I think COVID kind of precipitated this desire with people who had maybe a tiny link with the country, and they were going to be working remotely, so why not from, you know, a place where they could have a quality of life? And nobody, Marty, gets to the end of their life and says, I wish I'd spent less time with my children.
Yes.
So, but there's a lot of people who get to the end of their life and say, I wish I'd spent more time with their children. Mm. And everybody we spoke to was just enjoying the environment, the work-life balance, and the fact that they could either work from home or they could go to the hubs. And as you said, there is a website you can find out where those hubs are all over the place.
Talk to me about Mary now, but just for a minute, because you're born and bred in Dublin, but you've strong rural links, don't you?
Well, my sister lives on the Aran Islands. Does that
count? As good as it gets. That qualifies.
And my daughter's married, but she's living in Limerick City. But she's married to a man from Maru, so that's
Maru Bohar, I know her well. Beautiful Maru.
I just think we've always had a draw to the country. Both my parents were born in around the cattle markets in Dublin, but my mother's family came from rural Carlow, down around the Fighting Cocks, and at the highlight of our summer holidays, it just was the highlight, was the trip down to Mick and Kate on the farm in at the Fighting Cocks. And I'd say they were preparing,
name,
they were kind
it?
Of, yeah, battening down the hatches for a week before we arrived, because we lived
Mary
next door to
coming.
Our cousins, and there were three boys there, and then the four of us. And then I'd say they were recovering for a week afterwards. It's like, oh, there's an egg. Ooh, how did that egg end up there in a haystack? But it was just so lovely. And I can remember we actually visited it for the ploughing, because that's the land. Sean Esmond is now running it. And we had some old telecine, you know, the cine camera footage.
Yeah.
And there was footage of me as a 10-year-old bringing a hen for a walk around the yard, and the hen had a lead on. you'd probably be reported for that now. But it was so sweet and so lovely. And we'd be sent home with apple tarts and potatoes and cabbages. You know, and that's the kind of thing that we're, you know, I know that's 60s.
Yes.
And I know this is 21st century. But it is a quality of life that we're talking about, Marty. And the moving west, I mean, it's absolutely wonderful.
And do you think things have changed because of COVID, or indeed was that movement beginning to happen before COVID arrived?
I think what's happened with COVID is people were obliged to work from home and found that it worked, that it was possible. I think a lot of employers who might have been a little bit nervous about productivity and presentism, isn't that a word they use? Putting your coat on the back of the chair and going out for a coffee. But that they realised that people were working efficiently and productively, and therefore it was possible. And also, the government has this programme called Our Rural Future, and they have committed to rolling out the broadband in all over the place. The digital hubs are up and running, and also to kind of giving a quality of life to people. So a lot of the people I asked, you know, what advice would you give to people who were thinking of doing this? If you do it, you've got to muck in. You've got to become part of the community. And that's important as well.
Well, let's take a listen to a young couple that you met in Lewisburg in County Mayo.
We came for a holiday, decided not to come home. And then piece by piece, it's sort of fallen into place. And here we are. Yeah.
About to open a coffee shop, Louis.
That's right. Yeah. Kind of just snowballed into what we have now. So just about to open a new cafe in Lewisburg, in the town there.
It's something we've always wanted to do. And maybe in the past, it hasn't felt 100% possible for us. Just what with our working commitments. And with the pandemic, it gave us the opportunity to try. And now it feels like completely possible. So we're thrilled.
How do you compare the life that you have now with the life that you had before?
I think we've kind of just taken everything that we enjoyed in our previous life and put it in a better setting.
That's exactly it. You know, I love to walk in the outdoors. Louis loves to cycle. And all of that is just absolutely taken to a whole new level when this is your landscape. We just absolutely love it. And we're really excited as well about when things open back up here and the cultural scene that's available around in the area too.
And Louis, with you opening a coffee shop, you'll never be short of a good cup of coffee, Trina, will you?
No, and he's the chef too, so I get some lovely meals.
To go busman's holiday.
We'll all be going to Lewisburg and County Mayo. But what they're saying there describes it all, doesn't
it? Absolutely, because that's Katrina and Louis, and they were living in Dublin. He was working in the hospitality sector. She's working, still is, in banking. And he lost his job when the pandemic began. And they did have, she had a tradition of going to Lewisburg as a child on holidays. They went down and she said for a holiday, and they decided to stay. Now, she's working in the bank. She comes up twice a month for team meetings. He has opened this coffee. Well, it was just about to open when we were down there. I presume it's up and running now. And they have a little 2-year-old girl. And, you know, what's not to like? They're just... They're committed, and they have, it's a super setting. Well, you know Lewisburg.
Oh,
it's
Lewisburg.
Gorgeous part of the country.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And maybe they'll be celebrating something quite soon in Mayo, will they?
Well, you never know. The people of Tyrone might disagree with you, but I know what you're on about.
Yes,
we're looking forward to that today week, the All-Ireland football final.
Oh my goodness,
final.
It'll be very exciting.
Now, the interesting thing is that Moving West is a programme for TJ Cahir, as is Guaranteed Irish, the business programme airing later in the year. That clip is in English, but you needed your Gaeilge, obviously, for TJ Cahir. Now, I know, obviously, we've discussed that you're born and bred in Dublin, but where did that love of the Irish language come from, Mary?
Well, it came from a very, I suppose, motivational teacher that I had in the secondary school. She was from Kerry. Joan Redmond was her name. And she sent a group of us down to Balnar Teirig when we were in fifth year. And I just loved it. It was a bit like, you know, people who are moving west now. I just got this sense of space and expansiveness, and just people had time to talk to you. But my mother, in fairness to her, both she and my father, they left school as soon as they could because the money was needed in their families. But when we started, you know, kind of going through the ranks in primary school and going into secondary school, then she actually went Gaelin fair play to them, organised Irish language classes in Clondalkin Village. And she went and did them so that she could help us with our Irish grammar.
Oh,
and
yeah,
fair
wonderful.
Play to her. Yeah. And yeah. My brother and his cousins next door, my two brothers and cousins, they were kind of reluctant students, but she persevered.
That would be me now if I was related to you. That would be
for
me.
All of what she went through with them.
Well, congratulations. I mean, you're just fabulous, as you know. We're great. We're friends away from here, obviously. But I understand that last weekend your family celebrated the christening of your second grandchild down in Limerick.
Yes, down in Limerick.
Holly.
She's 9 months old. And she and her mammy are coming up now. We're having a girly weekend. And Benny and Paddy are having a boys' weekend down in Limerick.
I think I might call into the boys if I get home. And when, I presume it's going to be a long weekend. Mm. Anyway. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. That
Absolutely.
Sounds like great. Well, Moving West runs from the 23rd of September. That's a Thursday night at 9 p.m. for 6 weeks. Mary Kennedy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Gurmil Magath. And finally this morning, with children returning to school this week and a tinge of autumn in the air, and you may be thinking of heading to the woods for some blackberry picking. But if you keep a sharp eye out, you may spot treasures of a different kind. The treasures may only be a small notebook or a logbook hidden in a Tupperware box, but the joy is in finding it and signing your own name in the book and checking to see who's found it before you, before placing it back for the next person to find. I'm talking about geocaching, an activity that requires only a sense of adventure and a GPS device on a mobile phone running the geocaching app. I just find this fascinating. It's an invitation to go exploring, with geocaches often hidden in places of beauty or interest, as Mary MacDonald from Grey Heron Media found when she joined an eager bunch of geocachers on a trek along the River Keel in County Limerick.
We're going to go along the river walk between Darra Bridge and Ballyorgan.
So today I'm going to be trying out geocaching for the very first time. So I see there's some seasoned geocachers here already.
I'm Rory Light, I'm 16 and I'm from Kilfinan and I've been geocaching for about a year.
My name is Cuiva Light and I'm 11.
My name is Saoirse Light and I'm 14.
My name is Diarmaid O'Leary and I've been geocaching for 7 or 8 years now. Got the bug and it's just getting worse and worse. It's a 21st century treasure hunt where you have GPS coordinates that are extremely accurate. The plan is to find what we call geocaches. They are anything from a Tupperware box to something the size of the tip of my small finger.
Cuiva, you have the phone. You're kind of in charge on this hunt.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing on the screen there?
Well, we're about 270 metres. It shows here, and we're heading the right way.
Are you seeing like a little dot? Is it on the GPS? And it's...
Yeah, it gives you your location and then just shows all the geocaches like within a surrounding of you.
The whole point is to try to hide something in such a way that somebody who's looking for it can find it. But somebody that isn't looking for them won't even see that it's there.
There could be people going along this route that we're going on now, passing geocaches every day, and they might not see them.
I'm sure that there are hundreds of people who've walked past 10 geocaches along the way, and none of them have ever seen them. It's a secret community. We are Harry Potter fans, so we describe anybody who's not in the know as a muggle.
A muggle. So I'm a muggle about to hopefully become a geocacher today.
Every few metres or so, there's been small clumps of blackberries. I keep getting sour ones. I'm not sure about the girls, but...
Yeah, it's kind of luck whether you get a sour one or a sweet one.
Yeah, it's a 50-50.
What is it, Rory, about the geocaching that kind of keeps you coming back?
It's like the excitement of finding a geocache and then being able to put my name in it, just kind of show I've been here. I've found quite a few geocaches kind of around Kilfinan, but then like any time if we're travelling somewhere in Ireland, I'll try and find some there, see if there's any kind of in that location. Because they're all around Ireland, which is the fun thing.
So you've spotted something here.
So Cuevas getting the location, and it's kind of, we walk one way and we're too far to the left of it, then the other way it's too far to the right, so.
It said that it's magnetic for the hint, and you're meant to look from it from under or behind.
Could it be that thing?
Yeah, have a go.
And it looks like a very unlikely place now to find anything at all, let alone treasure or something as exotic as a geocache.
Rusty pipe that's just coming out of the ground. I think the girls have found something.
Cuiva just stuck her hand in and she found this little tin. It's pretty small and it just says official geocache on it. I don't know how to open this up. Oh, okay, so there's a magnet inside and there's this really long roll of paper.
Do you have a pen?
The first thing you need is a GPS or a phone. The second thing you need is some writing implement. And for something as small as that, you just put initials.
Even as we pause here, I see a lovely colourful little caterpillar making his way around the side there of the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. Oh, he's very colourful.
He's black and orangey, oh, kind of yellow.
Kind of, yeah, black and amber. When you have the geocacher, you'd always be more alert on a walk, like you're spotting stuff that you wouldn't usually spot if you're just walking.
And I believe, Dermot, you get involved in placing the geocaches.
Yeah, because I was enjoying geocaching myself so much, I decided that I would put out a few geocaches to get people to visit places that they wouldn't normally visit.
There's one in 360 metres, so it's not too far away.
That's not too far away.
That's good.
Maybe that's one I could have a look for with you as well, maybe.
Yeah. The hint is in the roots of a near horizon tree. Horizontal tree, sorry.
Dermot and Saoirse, you're leaning over a fence here. What are you looking at?
I found two little shrews on the footpath. And they let me rub them and then they kind of went off different ways into the grass.
Now, Cuiva, there are things called difficulty and terrain ratings on it. And the terrain is 2.5. Now, that's actually a hint. The path here would be considered terrain 1.5. So it's definitely off the path somewhere. Oh, follow Cuiva.
So I'm just hauling myself up onto the side of this little hill here. I've had to reach out and grab onto a tree branch to pull me up. Cuiva is up above us, up on a height, looking around. We're navigating across some old branches. Certainly feeling like an adventure now, Dermot.
Yes.
There's a lovely sense of kind of excitement. I mean, we just kind of don't know where we're going to go next.
Even I am getting slightly worried at this stage.
I see a Tupperware container.
Oh. I'm just crawling underneath the lovely mossy branch and we're here. Well, Rory.
There's a big Tupperware container on the side. It says geocache. Please do not disturb, but look in if you wish. Inside there's a sticker, a ruler, a set of pliers, a few pens, and a smaller box with a notebook inside and a pencil. There's a few names in here.
A few fellow adventurers that have come this far.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put my name down.
How are you feeling now?
We're satisfied.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
And Dermot, we've come upon a waterfall here.
Just listen to the waterfall for 5 minutes, 5 hours, whatever tickles your fancy.
That's it, your time is your own.
Mary, at the end of this, I have just one question for you. Are you now a geocacher or a muggle?
Oh, now, I think I'm a geocacher. I think I'm going to be back.
Great. Will we go for one more?
Yeah, we've got one more.
It's 408 metres.
I I think Mary is a geocacher as well. Absolutely lovely idea. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know about it. But my producer, Eileen Herron, showed me on her app and where they are. And it's just fascinating. And if you love the kind of going on a little discovery trip, well, then geocaching is the place to go. That was the sound of the waterfall, by the way, on the Keel River Walk in County Limerick with Mary MacDonald from Grey Heron Media, discovering the fun of geocaching. And if you'd like to have a go at finding a geocacher yourself, you can uncover the hidden treasures near you using the geocaching app. That piece, by the way, was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Thank you so much for all the texts, by the way, this morning. Didn't get around to reading any of them, but we're getting a huge response to all our various items, particularly about the hubs in Carrigan Shannon. The Hive in County Leitrim is just one of many. But if you do need to find out a little bit more, then their website is www.connectedhubs.ie. And of course, the Hare's Corner, if you want to be part of that project, that closing date is Monday. That's our lot for this morning. Brian Moss was our broadcasting coordinator and Carlo Hare was in sound. The programme was produced by Eileen Herron. Next up after the news is Playback with Sinead Mooney and Damien O'Reilly. Good news. Damien O'Reilly will be back with you on next Saturday morning. Until I talk to you again, stay safe and have a lovely weekend.
Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments.